You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
People haven't spoken about what scriptures they're going to share, and it ends up being the same scripture. So his Galatians scripture is a scripture that I have in my sermon today. Could you describe the Christian life? How would you explain it to somebody? We often say that perhaps it's a life of faith, and that's true, but the problem with that is that we tend to think that faith is momentary, that it's a decision, a prayer, or maybe a turning point, whereas scripture shows us that faith is something deeper. Faith is more than a moment, it's a movement, a journey of transformation over time. Maybe we might say and think that the Christian life is about love, and that's also true. But what if we attend church for 20 years and yet our love remains the same, or even shallow or stagnant? You see, God calls us to a life of love that grows. Whether we define it through walking with Jesus, whether we define it through faith or through love itself, the idea, I think, of a Christian life is one that is growing, is one that is developing, is one that does not look the same as it did a year ago. Would you agree with that? Today, if we would like a map of what that type of life looks like, we can look at the early life of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, which is what we'll be doing today. And the sermon title is A Love That Grows. Because, this is why this is important, because the same man who once approved the death of Stephen, was arresting Christians, throwing them in jail, was also the man who said what Mofe told us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How does a change like that happen? Well, Paul's life shows us three stages, but one ultimate destination through a love that grows. So let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, mindful, Father, of Paul's incredible journey of faith, of love, of Christ-likeness, we pray that today we can learn from his life so that we too can own that scripture where we can confidently claim that we are dead, that we've been crucified with your Son, and we now live in him, through him, for him, with him. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the example of those who have gone before us. Let us learn from them, learn from you, learn from your Spirit. Thank you. Please be with us. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So, as I said, we first learn of Paul, and we hear about him in Acts chapter 7, where he, as a young man, is persecuting the early church. He's rounding up Christians. He's arresting them. He's throwing them into prison. By the way, Paul is not Saul's Christian name. So his Jewish name, because he was Jewish, was Saul. But his Roman name, because he was also a Roman citizen, was Paul. Okay, it wasn't his Christian name. So I might use Saul, I might use Paul today, whatever, as we go through the sermon. So let's pick up the story of Saul in Acts chapter 9. So this is paraphrased a little bit just to save time on our text today. So Saul sets off for Damascus. When he got to the outskirts of the city, now why is he going to Damascus? He's going to round up Christians who are worshiping in the synagogues. And in fact, he got permission from in Jerusalem, can I go to Damascus to arrest his disciples who are worshiping in the synagogues? That's why he's going. So when he got to the outskirts of the city, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, the one you are hunting down. Go to the city and you will be told what to do next. Saul, picking himself up from the ground, found himself blind. His companions took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was blind for 3 days. He ate and drank nothing. Ananias, one of the disciples, who had been instructed by the Lord to go and find Saul, went and found him, placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me to you so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Then something like scales fell from his eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet and was baptized. Quite an amazing story. Quite an amazing account and an event of his coming to faith. You know, last week we had Ryan's Women's Ministry Leadership Recognition, and a friend of hers came here called Hannah. And we got some time with her afterwards. She came over to our house. We knew her from, I've known her since she was about 4 years old in West London. And so she has just finished a Master's of Divinity. And she was telling us about this concept called the phases or the stages of spirituality. And it's these three here, purgation, illumination, and union. And what's amazing is that it fits really well into some of the work that we've been doing on Dallas Willard. You know the circles? Remember that? And how how the Holy Spirit works within different phases of our spiritual life. Well, it fits in perfectly with that. And I have a resource at the end if you'd be interested in learning out a little bit more about that. So we're going to go through these phases today and model them into, place them into Paul's personal journey. But first of all, before we even get to these phases of his own walk with God, what happened to him first of all? Well, he had an awakening. And just like Paul, all of us, we have to have some kind of awakening to come to God in the first place. And perhaps you can even think of your own. And I'm sure for all of us, they were not as dramatic as Saul's, because we were not rounding up Christians and throwing them into prison. But we still had an awakening nonetheless that brought us to God. You know what's quite amazing? There is an awakening happening within the US at the moment. This survey came out a year ago by Barna, and they discovered that right now, 66% of adult Americans not only believe in Jesus, but actually have made him Lord of their lives. What an encouragement! 66%. You would not think that sometimes. But there is an awakening happening. And the majority of those people coming to faith are Gen Zs and millennials. Why? Well, they're realizing that even though TikTok and YouTube have a lot of answers, they don't have all the answers. They're realizing that even though we can be connected online, that there is in fact perhaps a deeper need to have real human connection in a community. They're realizing that the world, as great as it is also a little bit discouraging at times, and that we need a foundation in our lives, and that is God and that is Jesus. So this gives us hope, right? That not only what we are doing is of course the right thing, but the world is looking for answers, and they are right here in this room with God. Every journey, though, does begin with God shifting our focus, removing the scales from our eyes in some way so that we can see. If you are not yet a Christian, what is the awakening perhaps that God is doing within your own life? Even that has brought you here today, what is he trying to teach you? What is he trying to help you to see in him about the Bible to bring you closer to him? Respond to that. So Paul has this awakening. He gets baptized. He becomes a disciple of Jesus. And then, by the way, what city is he in? See if you were listening. Damascus. Good job. So the Bible says he spends a few days with the disciples in Damascus. So what's quite amazing is that the very disciples that he's going up to Damascus to arrest, they're now his brothers and sisters. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm sure they were a little bit suspicious. I would be. The Bible even says they weren't sure if they could trust him. But this point, this is where, as a young Christian, he enters the first stage of spirituality. And this is called the purgative way. And this is the way of cleansing the heart and the will. The purgative way, it marks our new life in Christ. And as I share about it, I'm sure many of us can relate to it. So purgation, what does that mean? It just means to purge yourself of things that no longer belong. That's all it means. To get rid of, to cleanse of anything that is getting in the way of your new life in Christ. It's to strip away the old self. Of course, the Holy Spirit does that, but we have our responsibility as well. It's to put off that old self and learn how to put on Christ. The purgative way is where the beginning of this love that grows begins to take shape. It takes time. It takes surrender. It takes letting go of parts of ourselves that perhaps we used to think we couldn't live without. But that process, even though it's not easy, it's so necessary because it heals and it brings us into daily communion with God. I remember as a young Christian, the guy who reached out to me was in the ministry. And so, but he would call me every single day. Hey, have you had a quiet time today? Yes, I've had a quiet time today. Hey, how's it going with sin? Well, this happened and that happened. Okay, come on, CJ. And it was so, at the time I found it a little bit annoying after like month three of these daily calls. But I tell you what, it helped me so much spiritually. Just to have someone in my life saying, how's it going? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you praying? Are you spending time with him? Are you reading God's word? Are you putting off the flesh? I needed that so much. That's this purgation stage. We all need it and value from it, right? The challenge is, though, perhaps when we still live in that purgation stage 20 years on, because it should really be a short time, and we'll come to that in a second. Not that we never will be free, but surely there are things that really should have belonged in the past that we no longer need to be trying to put off because they are gone. Let's return to Paul. So, reminder, he's in Damascus. And then for some reason, after spending time with the disciples, let's see if you know your Bible trivia. Where does he go? Do we know where he goes? So he goes to Arabia. So Galatians 1, Paul tells us about his early days as a brand new baby Christian. He says, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. So what did he do as soon as he spent time with the disciples in Damascus? He says, I didn't even try to consult with people about how to grow in my faith. He says, I just went to spend time with who? With the Lord. He went to spend time with God. See, Paul's purgative stage does not begin with ministry, doesn't even begin with Christians, but 3 years just spending time with God, spending time in his small church in Damascus, learning how to walk with Jesus, working on his own walk, working on his theology, on his apologetics maybe, working on his doctrine, but just him and the Lord. What an amazing way to begin his Christian life. This quote is kind of a summary of many thoughts, but it says, before God works powerfully through us, we must learn how he works deeply in us. See, for Paul, this took place in his period of solitude. And I think that solitude is one of the most important spiritual disciplines that we can learn how to enjoy with God. This summer, our practice in the way focus is on solitude. And in fact, Billy is going to be working on a curriculum for us and teaching us through that. But start now. We don't have to wait for the summer to enjoy times of solitude with God. And I know that some of you do that already. But what could you do to even help you build up to that? Well, purge, remember, means putting off things that are stopping you from that closeness with God. How about your phone? What if you just decide, right, for the next month, I'm just going to have a 1 day a week screen fast. Just put my phone aside 1 day a week just to get closer to God within that time. Maybe it's deciding to go away by yourself on a Saturday for just for 1 day a month for the rest of the year. Just to simply just spend time with you and God. You know, when we leave, one of the things I'm going to miss the most is going down to Palos Verdes. That's my day away with the Lord. I love it. I love it. It's my favorite place. I take a little box lunch with me. I just sit and walk with God, talk with him for hours up and down the coast. I love it. It's the thing I look forward to. I need it. But we all do. Life is so busy. And it's so easy to get distracted from the things that really matter the most, and that is our relationship with God. So we need to purge ourselves of the things that are distracting and that are getting in the way. But we don't have to wait for a special summer series for that to begin. We can do that now on our daily walk with the Lord. So this period in Damascus and Arabia was a bridge between his purgative stage and then the next stage, which is called the illuminative stage. And this is where the mind learns to follow and engage with the Holy Spirit. This is where the disciple ceased to live by and in the Holy Spirit. Let's return to Paul. So the next chapter of Saul's life, it illustrates this transition from the purgative to the illuminative, where he's walking way more closely with the Lord. So this is just for your reference if you want to look at it a bit later. So Saul leaves Damascus eventually, and he returns back to Jerusalem, now as a disciple of Jesus. Again, the disciples who knew that he had gone up to Damascus and they knew about him were suspicious of him. So Barnabas, the Bible tells us, advocates on his behalf. Says, hey, no. He is now a Christian. He's one of us. Eventually, he's accepted by the apostles. Saul starts preaching passionately about Jesus. The Jews hear about this and they plot to kill him. So he's then evacuated all the way up to Tarsus. Tarsus is Paul's hometown. So here he is in his hometown, meeting with the church, learning, growing, serving, teaching, probably being a tent mater during that time. Do you know how long he's up in Tarsus for? As a young Christian, growing and learning? About 10 years. 10 years. Just a regular member of the church, learning about Jesus, hearing sermons from the brothers, walking with God, deepening his faith, growing in Christ, working on his own theology, living out the love that grows. Then, in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas goes looking for Saul, finds him in Tarsus, and then takes him to Antioch, where for a whole year, the Bible says, they meet with the church, they teach lots of people, and then they travel back down to Jerusalem to take some money because there is a famine in the church at that time. And then we find out about Saul once again in Acts chapter 13. And this is what we read. One day, as they were worshiping, so this is, he's now in Antioch, and he's a teacher within the church in Antioch. He says, one day as they were worshiping God, they were also fasting as they waited for guidance. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work I have called them to do. So Barnabas and Saul are then sent off on their first missionary journey. So by now, from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 13, this is now about 13 years. For some reason, I always just thought that Saul became a Christian and then within the next few months or a year, he then became a missionary. Did you ever think that? I didn't understand the in-between years. But we're talking 13 and possibly 15 years of Paul just learning how to just be a disciple. How to walk with God, how to grow deeper in his faith with the Lord in the illuminative way. By this time, Paul is in his mid-40s. He's no longer that young man that they laid their clothes at in Acts chapter 7. This is the illuminative way. This is the path that many of us, the middle path that many of us spend years on. But it's one of the most important paths of our Christian life. This is not the dramatic beginning. It is not the final completion. But it is the slow working of spiritual formation. It is the slow work of becoming more like Christ from the inside out. This is the work that we've been trying to do on spiritual and emotional maturity. You see, growth is not just about you and God. A love that grows means that we learn how to even interact with one another in a healthy and a mature and a Christ-like way in real situations. This is why being a disciple is more than just doing the right things. Being a disciple is more than just showing up to church, reading your Bible, giving financially, evangelizing from time to time. Because we can do all of those things, but what's really going on the inside? What is our real walk with God? What does that truly, truly look like? Because learning how to develop the true character of Jesus, that's the hard work. That's the deep work. That is the work of the illuminative way. So we were first introduced to Paul when he was imprisoning disciples of Jesus. Did you know that by the end of Paul's life, he's been imprisoned and arrested 3 times, totaling 5.5 years. Eventually, he was beheaded for the faith that he once condemned. Pretty amazing. He had truly graduated to the final phase, to the unitive way, the final stage of Christian perfection, where our soul has constant awareness of God and habitually conforms to God's will, not our will. He had arrived. He had made it. How do we know? Because he says this in 2 Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He had learned how to love God and love others without limit. He had arrived and he was ready to go home. At the beginning of the sermon today, I asked us to think about what the Christian life is like. How would we describe it? And as we have seen, it's a movement, it's a path, it's a journey. It must never remain stagnant and still. So here is the question. Where are you on this journey? Where am I on this journey? What will our love and faith look like when our race is over? I think God desires for every one of us, for us to be at that final stage, that unitive stage, in complete union with him. But we don't get there just by jumping over the others. We get there through the long middle years of just learning how to walk with God truly and deeply. So I have some homework for you today. Is that okay? So this article is not bad. It's pretty good. And it helps you just to be able to assess, gives you a little bit more detail into these 3 stages. And it does it through years of like childhood or adolescence and then adulthood. Okay, it just does it through that lens. But read the article. As you read it, assess yourself and then pray and then decide to work on whatever is the next chapter for you. And I know that many of you in the congregation do that already. So many of you read different books and are, you know, listen to online courses and listen to podcasts. All of that is available to us to help us to grow deeper in our walk with Jesus. You see, it is not my responsibility to help you to do that. Every one of us has the authority to just walk with God, to try to carve out what this life looks like. Don't wait for it to come from the sermon. Do this in your own walk with Jesus by following the Spirit yourself. Amen? And then in doing so, we can all then develop a love that grows. Amen. Thank you.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.